Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion. Tune in at 6 PM every Wednesday for Ray Lichordi on Wednesday Live, your weekday dose of inspiration and empowerment to get you through that midweek slump. Listen live on Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, or catch the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za.
All right, 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, gracing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, man. It's happening throughout up to the hour 8, Wednesday Live, the name of the show. My name is Ray. Welcome to it, man. And thank you so much, Johannes, for gracing us through. We really appreciate the time and the moment. We really, really appreciate. Thank you for taking care of us throughout, and may the Father continue to use you in this ministry of spreading His goodwill, even in times as dramatic as this. Someone has got to rest us. Someone has got to calm us down. Someone has got to tell us and say, hey, the Father is in control. And Johan, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. And of course, we started this way. We'll be talking to Muruti Karabomraka and also Professor Samuel Kabamba. This will be happening throughout. And of course, also, I've got inserts that have already been placed on by our guests, Dr. Barata, and then also Julia Mamaria Sifako, right in Parliament. I don't know how the G20 went for you, eh? You need to tell me. We were broadcasting it last night. You need to tell me, Julia, you know. Okay, not on air. And of course, also, we will be touching base with you. I think Rado is also going to give us, you know, a piece of her mind with tonight's discussion. So it's just going to be as beautiful as ever. And we're just going to enjoy very much so. Let's take the music of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes there. Enjoy this one.
Inspiring lives with God's Word. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Oh, no, man. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes there. Wake up, everybody. That's the name of the song. We trust you so much in a mighty way, the best of friends. Man, this is happening throughout up to the hour 8, Tuesday Live, the name of the show, man. And we have the professor, Pastor Samuel Kabamba, is on the line. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, greetings to you, sir. Thank you very much for having us again tonight. We are so, so blessed to be here. And I greet every single person who shall be with us tonight. And I greet you, Muruti Ray and Muruti Muraka. May the Almighty Father be with us as we share the word.
Are you well, sir?
I'm good and I'll complain. Everything's fine.
No, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And we will be talking to Muruti Muraka. He was just near home driving. He says, I'm not far from home. Therefore, if you can call me in a jiffy, then I will be able to talk to you directly there. And so tonight we are talking about spiritual innocence. What this is even actually about. When we speak of spiritual innocence, what do we imply? And what does the word say with regards to this? Spiritual innocence also implies that one is without guilt or guile. One who is devoid of guilt or guile. And guilelessness, spotlessness, blamelessness, It's something we're going to look into. I just want you to look at it from a perspective of skepticism and say, oh, but it doesn't look like we qualify on this. Of course, but by the grace of the Father, we will see how we become spiritually innocent. That we are going to see. Now, the word is saying quite a lot with regards to this. And I think it is something that you and I should take into consideration. And the word says, with regards to this, that, and I'm looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In other words, spiritual innocence means that one is devoid, which means one does not have anything that brings shame to him. And when we are in Christ, we become new creations. The old is gone, the new is come. Then shamelessness occurs upon our lives. Hence, it's called justification. We find that. That is why I said, you don't have to look down at yourself when we speak at the, about this. Don't allow the devil to bring a condemnation upon you. But we have to speak about this so that we understand our stature. And also we be able to accept that we are in a state of innocence when we are in Christ. We have to accept that. Otherwise, we will be riddled with guilt and doing things of shame throughout our lives. But now we see we live under the will of the Father by His grace. This implies, with regards to us, that we are guileless. And it's something to look into. And I know many times many people don't want to talk about this because they say, hey, I'm human. And I mean, but in, what do they call this? They say something, professor in the street, say, I'm a Christian in the making, something like that. Something like that. They speak about themselves as something that is not yet ripe, something that is not yet complete, something that is not yet finished. Yet, the Elohim Yahushua HaMashiach, when he was hanging on a tree, I didn't say on a cross, when he was hanging on a tree, he said, it is finished.
Yeah.
And we, in many instances than one, had gone on to incorporate theologies or theological perspectives that perpetually condemn us without us realizing. And before you know it, people become discouraged. They no longer want to live lives for the Messiah because they say, it's impossible. But we know that it is Him who has granted us this innocence, and it's Him who causes us to live in this innocence. We cannot on our own. It is by His grace that we are found there. And many times we seem to be losing out when it comes to that, and it is a big problem. They were not ashamed, this man and this woman in the beginning there. We see, they were not ashamed. It means there was no sin in them. There was no shame in them. You know, me now, when I grew up, I thought when they said they were not ashamed, I said, okay, they didn't care that they were just running naked next to each other. But it doesn't mean that. It says they had no shame. Shame, it's those things that beguile you. And shame doesn't care whether you are wearing clothes or not. It has its way of beguiling one. We're talking about that. We trust the Father will do you good. Let me bring you in, Professor. When it comes to this, what comes to mind? What is spiritual innocence, according to you, sir?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, man of God. You've said quite a lot of things on that. We thank the Almighty for this subject. And it is so amazing how we claim that we are, children of God. At the same time, we do not portray or we do not reflect what it is to be a child of God or to be the child of the Father. We do not show that because we see in ourselves until now that we're still lacking quite a lot of things. That in our own perspective, we say that we are not yet fit. We are not fit enough to serve Him. We're not fit enough to represent Him. Now, the good question will be, when are we going to be ready to represent Him? It's a good question. Because when I remember the story when the disciples, when the Messiah called them, before he left, he told them that you shall be in Jerusalem. You'll wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Mm.
The moment the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it is going to enable you, it's going to give you the power to become my witness. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what you carry, but the moment the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have to stand in order to represent me.
Mm.
Now, until today, you know, when we, because this teaching is still going on, whereby people will tell you that you, when you accept the life of the Messiah, when you accept his life, you are not yet there. It's just an entry point. That's what people will tell us. You'll say, you still have to do a lot.
Mm.
As if you have to pray a lot, to go to, you know, to fast a lot, and to do quite a lot of things for you to be ready. But while we know, the Bible speaks to us again that when Cornelius, these are examples in the Bible, in Acts 10, when Cornelius, I mean, received the vision or the dream, he sent the messenger to go and see Peter. When Peter came, the Bible says while Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were able to speak in other tongues. They were able to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
In other words, we understand, as Peter himself, when in Acts 2, when he was still speaking to the disciples, to the people said, "Brother, what do you want us to do?" He says, "Repent, and you shall be saved, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Mm.
It means that the moment someone repents and accepts the life of Christ, he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. At that particular moment, the person is qualified to do what? To stand for the Messiah.
Mm,
there is no any other thing that he has to wait. Because it is in waiting that where we get to be seduced by other spirits. In waiting, we tend to accept other things that were not in a plan. You know, today, because you say that you're not fit, someone will say, "Hey, me, I'm anointed because I've been in church for 10 years. You are anointed because you've been in church for 15 years.
Yeah.
But this other guy who just got in to just accept the life of Christ today, he says, "Oh, I'm still a nobody because I've just accepted his life now. How can I stand for him?" Now, we found now that gap in our churches today, whereby everything is done by the men who happen to be the pastor, and the rest are just spectators because they say, we are not ready and we are not worthy to serve God because we are not yet there. He has been in fasting, he has prayed a lot, he has done this, and we feel as if we're still carrying some other sin that we are not yet able to overcome. But what in essence, if you look at the people who are standing in front of us, most of them, they have been in more scandals than even the members or the brothers who are in church.
Mm.
And the brothers who are in church, they're kind of living a holy life, but they are not allowed to stand for the Messiah. And this becomes a problem. Now, when you go to the book, example, we go to the book of Colossians 1, verse 13. This is, Paul is speaking to the Colossians. He says, "For he has rescued us, and he has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us in the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice and resulting in the forgiveness of our sins." And he also done what? He has canceled the penalty of sin.
Mm.
And the moment we accept Christ, we have been taken, rescued from the domain or the dominion of the enemy and being translated in the kingdom of his Son. That means we qualify already. Because we have been qualified to be part and parcel of his sons. Because there is nothing else that we have to wait for us to qualify. Because we see, as I was saying, some people would tell us that it's like we need to do some other works for us to qualify to be sons of God. It's like we need to sacrifice a lot because, we always hear things like, "You've never done what I've done. I've suffered a lot for the work of God." But who asked you to suffer? Nobody asked you to suffer because what I know is the moment I accept him, what he has done, he has translated me, he has taken me from the dominion of darkness, from the domain of darkness, to the domain of his son, whereby I've got redemption, I've got the coming, I've got salvation in it, and they, all my sins have been what? Have been cancelled. That whatsoever that could stand before me, whatever could stand between me and the Father, has been removed.
Yeah.
That means I'm no longer condemned. Now, when you go to Romans 8, the Bible says, verse 1, it says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That means there is no more condemnation. We know we were condemned. The one who were condemning us was the Father, because we sinned against him. He put condemnation in front of us. Now, he has come through his son. He has removed that condemnation. It means now we can see him. We can talk to him. We qualify to be his sons. Now, the moment we qualify, that means all the gifts, whatever that could enable us to serve him, has been bestowed to us. We can now stand on his behalf, as Jesus Christ will speak to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, shall stand for me as my witnesses. He says, go into the world, do what? Make all nations my disciples. And there is no time frame whereby you say, and now you're still on level one, you're still on level two, you know, you cannot do level three. You see, no, we don't have such. Someone who believes today can still serve the Father in such a way that, even on the same level with the one who's been in church for 15 years. It's possible. But the whole debate is the understanding. Now, the matter is, the situation is, those who have gone ahead of us, they have a tendency of crushing or demeaning the people who are coming in. With this thing of saying, this is, these are just zeal, you know, these are just, those white zeal, you know, just coming in now, we don't know yet much, you know, just take time. And they use scriptures like what Paul will say to Timothy, says that don't give responsibility to someone who just got born again. That's a matter of responsibility. But a matter of serving, there's no way to say that, hey, you need to wait. There's no such. You know, these days, there are some videos on TikTok. I cannot dispute that. But this is, I'm seeing people who are young men who go around. They pray for people. They pray for people, and they are experiencing what you call instant miracles. Say it's okay as long as if they are doing it in the name of Jesus and things are happening in a normal way, it's okay, because the Bible does not say that the miracles have stopped. The miracles are taking place. That means if they are doing to glorify Jesus, I'm fine with that, because miracles are still there, healing are still taking place. But what I love about that picture is I see young men, not old people, I see young men going out there and meeting people on the street and say, you have pain, you are suffering, but there's a Jesus who can heal you. There's a Jesus who can save you. And if they can do that, it does not matter if you've been in church, because today, everything like miracles, whatever, it has been now cornered in the church. That means we cannot talk about it outside. While when you go back to the Bible time, it was people were going out. The Bible said they will go out and people will be healed as they're going to serve the Father. But today, everything has been in the church, whereby it's only one individual who happened to be the pastor who will work, and the rest will be spectators. While we've been rescued, been taken out of the domain where we're supposed to be spectators in a way, to become now actors, why can't you also serve as we should? Then we sit. And I would love what Paul says. I'm going to land on that. What Paul says to Timothy, I'm going to just read quickly and then stop there. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, what does he say? He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. One thing that I love, verse 2 says, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right, or even when it is not. Keep on the sense of urgency. It means as a child of God, you must always have the sense of urgency. You do not sit. You do not wait. Somebody must come and tell you, go and preach now. No, all the time. If the time is good or it's not good, you keep up. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome, correct those who err, in doctrine or in behavior. Warn those who sin, exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity, yeah, with a patient and faithful teaching. I'm going to stop here by saying that you do not wait. Every single individual, the mere fact, the moment you've been taken from the kingdom of darkness or from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his son, you have to be ready at any given time to do what? To share the word of God. Paul is saying, Timothy, don't wait for a good time. Don't wait when they say, now you can preach. Whenever you go out, if you see people in the good or in the bad, say something about the Messiah.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Muruti. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8 and Wednesday Live, the name of the show. Welcome to it.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Phulaphula iRadio Pulpit ukhanyiseleke kweli lizwe eliminyango. Zivulele ngokwakho i-app yethu okanye umamele kuradiopulpit.co.za. Siyafumaneka ku-DSTV Audio Channel 882. Ukanti sikhona naku-OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
All right, let me bring this to you, Muruti Maraka. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show. We trust the Father is doing you well, sir.
Indeed. Thank you, my brother, for welcoming me. And yes, let me extend my greetings to yourself, to Pastor Kabamba, to the listeners of Radio Pulpit, and even your guests who also contribute. I greet in the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I must also thank you so much for your patience with me. Yeah, we thought we would have arrived by the time the program starts. However, yes, we have just arrived. And there's been an experience also that I don't know whether it's a deliberate thing or what, but Radio Pulpit, when you listen on the radio, like if you are driving, listening on the radio, it's almost like, it's almost like you struggle, totally struggle on the medium wave.
Oh, when you drive. And
that's why I say, I don't know whether it's deliberate or not. It used not to be like this. In the past, when I started listening to Radio Pulpit, I would listen being in the car. Well, we don't know. Maybe it's because the other platforms of technology are so improved. That one has lagged behind. But thank you also for the topic. And I did get it when you opened about Adam and Eve, that originally human beings, the two of them were innocent, were without guilt. And that guilt has to do with shame. And yes, I fully agree, my brothers, that spiritual innocence has to do with being found without guilt, without shame, before the Father. You see, right now, and I will take just this example quickly, in the Matlanga Commission, you hear people giving their testimonies about other people. The guilt has not yet been proven. Those other people will come, hopefully, and give their evidence, and then there will be sort of a report given. Although this is
for
not
the, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well,
20 years.
We hope it will not happen that way.
30
we
years.
Still pray.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
But in a court, in a court case, the lines are much clearer. That when evidence has been led, either the person who's been charged will be found to be guilty or not guilty. And in this case, it's we are speaking about something exactly the same. But the court is not a human court. It is the court of God, the Father, the court of the Spirit, that you be found not guilty in his court. Then you are spiritually innocent. Therefore, there is no one of us who can come before the Father, before the Son, or even before the Holy Spirit and say, you spoke about this last week, I believe. We used to have that thing that you can go to court and then use your trickery and come out having fooled them into believing that you are not innocent. None of us can fool the three-in-one God about innocence or guilt. And therefore, I believe it's important tonight when we are discussing this topic, we should really realize that the judge is God himself. But because God is fair, he has given judgment to a human being, Jesus Christ. And I was hearing Pastor Kabamba allude to that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, even the Son of Mankind, is the soon coming judge who will prove those that are guilty that they are guilty, and that those who are innocent are innocent, because he has himself been found innocent when he was judged. Psalm 51 says that, and in Romans chapter 3, Paul refers to that psalm and says, when you are judged, you will be found righteous, you will be found victorious. And because Yeshua HaMashiach never committed any sin whatsoever, he, when judged, because death is a judgment. When he was judged, he was found to be perfect and innocent. And therefore, he is worthy to judge the living and the defunct. Now, the last thought I want to touch on is, we don't have to wait until he comes back to know whether we are spiritually guilty or we are spiritually innocent. He has already laid out the plan before us. How do we move away from our natural position of being spiritually guilty to a new position, a fresh position of being spiritually innocent or without guilt, spiritually being without shame?
Yeah, I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Muruti. And of course, we are talking about the notion of spiritual innocence. Much of the times, and I should say, there has been a driving notion that has been there. And perhaps our guests will comment on that. That one is guilty. When we speak about this, people already are in a condemnation of a sort. They don't want anything to hear about this. But the very fact of the death and the resurrection of the HaMashiach is proof of our pardon, and that we have been rendered by him, therefore, as chaste in him. And hence we can speak about spiritual innocence without any condemnation. But the notions of theologians of today and all those things have brought quite a vehement perception that has been inbuilt secretly, so that we don't feel that we can be even holy. That's the big problem. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Send us your WhatsApps. Let's hear what you say. 0826572729.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Come and ask your questions, share your concerns, experiencing life on 657 AM.
Of course, you can give a shout, talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322. You can also send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. And a voice note via WhatsApp. We are keen to hear from you as to what you make of this. Now, let me bring some of our guests as we start this, man. It's just interesting, I should say. And let us speak also to Julia Mamaria Sifako, and we will also touch base with let me see, quite a lot of them. We also have Malita T. Malita T will also Tati will also give us something, and Rato will also give us something with regards to this. And I don't know much, but Dr. Barata is supposed to give us something, but I know with the graduations now taking place, it is a bit busy. Anyway, let us start with Julia, God's girl Sifako. Yeah. Let's start with and hear what she says. Good evening, Julia.
Good evening, Brother Ray, along with your listeners. I greet you in the most beautiful name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Ray, the topic is on spiritual innocence. Amen. Thank you very much for the topic. I'm just going to go through definitions and then also how we are qualified according to the processes outlined in the Bible on how to attain the innocence, because we cannot attain it in our own doing. Okay, first definition. In terms of Colossians 2, verse 13 to 14, the Bible says, let us read together. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it on the cross. So spiritual innocence is the righteousness that we attain only through Christ.
Yeah.
It cannot be attained by any other acts. Even if we do our level best, it's not something that is attainable in our humanly efforts. However, it is the work of Jesus Christ. In this verse that we just read, Bazalwane, it says that he forgives us our sins and he conceals the charge of our legal indebtedness. Let me speak about this charge. There was a topic that Brother Ray, you spoke about, where we spoke about Jesus Christ as being the judge.
Yeah.
There is a legal charge that we have. The minute we sin, the accuser of the brethren, which is the devil, has a legal right to accuse and to charge us. And accuse us of whatever, our omissions, our transgressions, etc. However, the blood of Jesus being so powerful and having, in fact, speaking of mercy and having the power to wash away any spot of guilt, that blood has given us that spiritual innocence that we're talking about tonight. So I hope I have clarified that it's not something we can do.
Mm.
We depend solely on Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. He's a Savior because indeed he saves us from this legal indebtedness of sin. And it's only through him that we can be called spiritual innocence, because as I would understand it, spiritual innocence is an equivalent of righteousness. Now that we are also talking about the fact that it's not something we can attain, let us also go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. According to this verse, I'll just paraphrase this, it talks about sanctification. Sanctification also, if we're going to cross-reference to another verse, which is John 17:17, sanctification is something that only Christ can do, also through his word. So he sanctifies us by his blood, but also by his word. So we attain that innocence, firstly by his blood, and then secondly, on an ongoing basis, by his word. That's why, as born-again believers, in a practical sense, we should, after being born again, after that phase of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and receiving his blood washing away our sins, we should also embark on a process of being in the Word of God, have a word study life. In other words, make it a very serious component of our lives to be in the Word of God, to read it, to study it. And those two processes are not even the same. And to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us, so that we keep on examining our hearts before him, so that we can hold on to that spiritual innocence that he would have imputed to us at the point of salvation when we receive him. I also want to say that we sin daily. In our own efforts, we are not able to attain that righteousness. That's why we should, at an ongoing basis, examine our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we are guilty, we should, and on an ongoing basis, ask for forgiveness. We should, on an ongoing basis, be sanctified by the Word of God. So, I would then also add, Ray, I hope I didn't speak for too long, and forgive
no.
me if I've gone over time.
No, you have not.
I would like to add that spiritual innocence also, in a practical sense, is hating the things that God hates. The book of Proverbs speaks about seven things that the Lord hates. When we have undergone the process of sanctification by the Word of God and of being forgiven by his blood, we should also hate the things that God hates. The book of Proverbs speaks to them as the haughty eyes, a lying tongue, shedding the blood of the innocent, devising wicked schemes, having a false witness, and stirring up conflict. So when we are spiritually innocent, in other words, we have to just make sure that on an ongoing basis, we walk in agreement with God. When we walk in agreement with God, we will love what he loves, and we will hate what he hates. God bless you, Brother Ray, in Jesus' name, along with your listeners. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God's girl, Julia, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. May the Father do you good. And thank you for your time. And I know how busy you are, and yet you still make quality time for us. We appreciate.
Ba patsa kgwebo ya gago mo Radio Pulpit, me o busetse dilo maemong a tsone. Radio Pulpit ke brand e tshepagetseng sebaka sa dingwaga di le 40, ibile ena le baretsi ba feta dikete di le 400. Ga jana re na le di package tse di botoka go feta pele mo sealemoyeng le mafelo a a kopantsweng a mafaratlhatlha go nna tlafatsa kgwebo ya gago go bapatsa e golaganye le Sanet mo 012-334-1254 kana romela email mo sanet@radiopulpit.co.za kgotsa SMS ka go kwala lefoko advertise go 37871 khona le melawana.
All right, let me bring this to you back, Professor. The very aspect, and I like it when we, you know, go, you know, and cut short and be able to accommodate just as many as we can. The program is growing, and we really appreciate that. Thank you so much to our guests. They're doing it quite well tonight. There's no panic on my side. Now, I'm looking at Numbers chapter 32 verse 22 and says, and the land is subdued before the Elohim, and afterward you may return and be blameless before the Elohim and before Yasharal, and this land shall be your possession before the Elohim. The aspect of spiritual innocence looks like a creative command that comes from our Father. He says, be blameless, or he says, and be blameless in the land that you will enter. When he speaks of our destiny, or when he speaks of our road and tour and points where we should arrive at, and he says, and be blameless before me. And he knows that on our own we can't do, so he commands it, just like he spoke and he said, let there be light, and there was light. To me, it seems like a creative command that he speaks upon us, something that on our own we cannot even fathom, comprehend, or understand. But the Father is doing it by his grace and his mercy upon our lives. What say you, sir?
Yeah, thank you very much, man of God, for the question. It's so very important to understand, as you just mentioned, that it is something that, humanly speaking, we cannot. And we cannot do anything, no effort whatsoever that we can do in order for us to be blameless in a way. Because human heart, as the Messiah himself, or God himself, or the Father himself, will speak in the book of Jeremiah 17, that the heart of man is evil and is inclined toward, I mean, evil all the time. Who can save that heart if not himself? You know, that's where people will need to mostly rely on him for our own, I mean, our good, in a way. We need to rely on him because we cannot do anything. Whatever we do, we always mess up somewhere. You know, it was yesterday, I was in a shop somewhere, and then there was a lady behind me, I mean, while we were paying by the till, the lady behind me, and then they were talking over the phone, and she said something, you know, people are very evil, and she was saying something like that. And then I turned to her, I said, when you say people are evil, are you excluding yourself, or you are also part of those people? And luckily she told me that I'm also part of them. I said, yeah, the thing is, because sometimes we have a tendency of pointing at other people, but we forget about ourselves. I mean, somehow, somewhere, we are not there. We do not qualify. That in whatever situation, if we have to look at on a man's standard, or even God's standard, we do not qualify. We are not yet there. And that spiritual innocence come in order, it is now the Messiah qualifying us. You know, I love the scripture that, I mean, the sister used, I mean, in the book of Colossians 2. I love that it says, I mean, you were condemned by your sins. You were punished by your sins. You could not do anything for your sins. Mm. I mean, there was nothing that you could do that could save you. There was nothing that you could do that could give you an opportunity to stand in the presence of the Father. Nothing. Because through that, through whatever we did, the condemnation was just standing in front of us. Mm. And I love this understanding of, who judges. I love that, because the one who judges is the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. He's the one who judges. The Bible says, as we read in the book of the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, it says, he's the one who's going to judge the living and the dead. But there's nobody who is above him. And today I was kind of laughing on the question that some people were asking. That was about Christian and Islam. And something that made me laugh is, even the Muslim would acknowledge that the one who's going to judge is the Messiah, Jesus. they have knowledge. That is going to judge everybody. Now, if it's going to judge everyone, that means somehow, somewhere, we need to understand how did he live and what did he do so that he may, if I might put the word, qualify himself to be the judge of everybody. We need to understand. And then by doing so, we come to that place of understanding. It's not by our strength, it's not by our knowledge, it's not by anything, but himself does it. And he does it in such a way that we do not pay anything for him to do that. And the Bible tells us that he is our righteousness. That means we cannot be even righteous. We don't have anything to do in order for us to be righteous. Whatever we do, we will always be short of the glory. The Bible says in the book of Romans 23, you know, sometimes we read this scripture, and I've seen a lot of people reading that scripture, and the way we maybe explain it, it is maybe not the way, I mean, the understanding has to be. Romans 3, if we read Romans 3, 23, what does the Bible say? Romans 3, 23, the Bible says that we do not qualify. Let me just read quickly. Romans 3, 23, that's what the Bible says. It says what? Okay. Okay. Since all we have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God, and it's we have sinned, and in terms of the glory of the Father, we could not have it. And when it conduces, and being justified, declared free by the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by his precious and deserved grace, I mean, through the redemption, the payment for our sins, which is provided in Christ Jesus. No, meaning that whatsoever we could do, whatever we are short of the glory. But for us to be accepted in the presence, there has to be a certain price to pay. And that price is the Messiah himself who paid it with his own blood. To make us be acceptable in the presence of the Father. Not by anything. And it's when we look at ourselves, we cannot say, I am being, I'm this, I'm that. That innocence that we have is been given to us by the Messiah himself. Mm-hmm. It's been given by him, by his decision to pay the price. He accepted. Nobody could come down. But he decided to come down. He took upon himself a body to come. And he went through all the domains. He went through all the domains of a human life. He went through that. The Bible says he went through all. I mean, he felt what we feel. He felt whatsoever that we could go through. He went through that so that one day nobody may say that he's never come for me.
Yeah.
Because he came for all of us. So that nobody will say, no, me, I think whatever he did on the cross was not, I mean, he did not really do it for me. He did for only some other people. And the beauty about the Bible is Jesus did not die for Christians. He died for the world. That means he paid the price for every single individual who could not save himself. And that, I mean, spiritual innocence, if we are accepting the sacrifice that he made on the cross, we say we could not do it. Everything that men could do, the people went through sacrifice. They went through payment of different sorts. But in whatever they did, nothing could save. And the Bible says if the covenant, the old one, if it could save, there could not be a need of a new one, as Moruti Muratayo said, the fresh one. There could not be need of a fresh covenant. That means it came because whatever people did could not work. Whatever people went through in whatever ways could not save anybody. Even now, even Paul himself, he got to a place and said, whatever I want to do, I'm unable to do it. But what I don't want to do, I do it. But who shall save me? If not the Messiah.
Yeah.
But we have to go through that place of understanding that our righteousness is nothing compared to the righteousness of the Father. We are nobodies, and he made us to become. And that way now, everybody, I appeal to all of us, it's not about what we can do. It's not about what we are capable of. It's not about the time we spend in church. It's not the kind of church we're coming from. It's not the type of background. It is by grace. It saves us, black, white, whatever color, status, whatever position you might have in society, he did it for all of us. That means nobody might see himself smaller than the other. But all of us, we benefit from that privilege by him who died on the cross. He paid the price. He did not say, I'm paying the price for Samuel, but not for Ray. He said, I'm paying the price for humanity. And if you have come to know him, You just say, hey, I'm not worthy, yes, according to whatever's happening, but because of him, and through him, I am worthy. Sure. Through him, I can be accepted. Through him, I can stand in front of the Father and say, Father, I know.
Yeah.
I've gone short of your glory, but Jesus Christ paid the price for me.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Pastor Sam. Send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. That's 0826572729. Let's hear what you say on this. I'm keen to hear from you. And, of course, you can send us a voice note via WhatsApp, 0826572729. You can also give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. 012-334-1322. I am keen to hear from you.
Kusukela enhlizweni yethu ukuya kweyakho. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Now, when we look into Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 26, it says, "Then you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter." Now, the very aspect, spiritual innocence, means the Father has taken away sin from us. And in our lives, there is no sin deserving of death anymore if we are in him. Am I correct to say that, Muruti Mraka? Are you there?
Indeed, my brother, sorry. Indeed, you are correct. And I believe the topic of tonight brings out two things very clearly to all of us. Number one is that Yeshua HaMashiach himself was innocent. And this means we can't say anyone is innocent, like we normally use that term, that we will say innocent babies, we will say innocent people. No one is innocent of themselves, even as has been stressed by Pastor Kabamba and our sister Julia and yourself. We only become innocent through the Messiah. Why? Because the Messiah, number one, he himself proved to be innocent. Earlier on, I said there is that scripture in Romans chapter 3, earlier than the one that Pastor Kabamba quoted. Verse 4 says, "Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every human being be a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may conquer when you are judged." The Messiah was judged, and he conquered when he was judged. Here is how he was judged. Pilate had him before him, and I believe three times Pilate kept on saying, "This man, I find no ground." You see, innocence means there are no legal grounds for being found guilty. There are no legal grounds to be put to death. In Luke chapter 23, three times Pilate said, "I find no cause, I find no ground for this man to be put to death." That is in verse 4, in verse 14, and in verse 22, Pilate keeps on saying that. Now, he was in front of human judgment. He was found not guilty by the judge who was
sitting over him. However, people caused him to be made to pay the sentence, even though in judgment he was found not guilty. He was found innocent. That's number one. To the point that even the man who actually betrayed the Messiah, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 4, that man says this: I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. And then Pilate, in that very same Matthew chapter 27, verse 24, said this: when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a commotion was occurring, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, asserting, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. You see to it. It was clear that the Messiah was found by human beings who had the right to find him guilty. He was found by them to be without guilt, in other words, innocent. But it is not the main judgment. It is not even the main judge. When he was resurrected, even as Sister Julia said, when he was resurrected out of the defunct, it was the Father who was saying, you are innocent. You are not worthy of death because you have not sinned. Sin causes death. Death is the payment for sin. That's the first thing which I believe this topic is bringing out, that the Messiah was found innocent, and he was the only one who was innocent outside of Adam and Eve before they sinned. However, the second thing, through his own death, he became the guilt, he became the reason, he became the ground, he became the cause for those who are guilty to be made innocent. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, and having been perfected, he became the cause of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In other words, his blood, which he as the Melchizedekian order high priest, which he took into the Holy of Holies, is the guilt offering, is the guilt which was taken in, that I should become innocent, that you should become innocent, that any one of us, like Pastor Kabamba was saying, who put their trust on the Messiah as the Lamb of God that lives the sin of the world, any one of us who do that, he becomes what makes us innocent spiritually. And when now this is our response, and that is where Sister Julia was harping on earlier on in a beautiful way. Our response is, we don't just say, oh yes, thank you Lord, it is finished, and that's it. No. We accept, number one, that he is the reason that makes us innocent. Yeah. Number two, we obey him. And as we walk the path of obedience, as 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, the Spirit causes us to become pure. The Spirit causes us to have a second witness of this innocence. Where? In our souls, in our blood. He makes our own blood now to be innocent. Wow. When we obey his truth.
Yes.
It is not just one thing.
Okay.
It is with that response. Thank you, my brother.
Sure. Thank you so much, Muruta. I really appreciate it. Please send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729. Okay. Now, on Julia Mamaria Sefako's other account that she sent me a message with to the program, it's written, God's girl, Julia. So I'm calling her God's girl, Julia, because it's so sweet. So when we quote her, let's say God's girl. She's listening to us right in Parliament. Thank you so much. We appreciate.
Thola inkuthazo yakho nokuphakanyisa kanye nokuqiniswa imihla namalanga ekhasini lethu leFacebook. Hlanganyela nomphakathi weRadio Pulpit kuFacebook.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.